5x1.
Let's go.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
How's everybody doing this morning? We've got an action-packed show in store for you today. We've got Lachlan O'Sullivan and Scott Putnam, newly crowned Rally America champs, hanging out in the queue. And we've got lots of news coming out of the Off-Road Expo, Baja 1000 news, World Rally Championship from France. I've got a race I'm running coming up this weekend, Best in the Desert, Blue Water Desert Challenge. So we've got an action-packed show, lots of news, lots of breaking news. But first, we're gonna see if we can get our newly crowned Rally America champs on air with us. You there, Lachlan? You there, Scott?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir. Morning, Jim.
Well, first off, congratulations, guys. You know, I know it's been a long time in the making for you guys, and, you know, just congratulations. It sounds like you had a great season.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it wasn't without trials and tribulations, but, you know, we battled through it and points at the end of the season and some good wins throughout. It ended up really, really well for us.
And, you know, how many, you know, those people that are tuning in, obviously, you know, most of our listeners are familiar with, you know, off-road racing, short course, you know, and a little bit of rally. And, you know, explain to us the SP class that you guys actually won the national championship in. And from what I understand and from what I know of the class, it's actually – you know, whereas others, you know, have different time gaps and stuff, you know, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is this is a really, really tight class. I mean, as far as times go and, you know what I mean, in stages.
Yeah, so what it is SP stands for Super Production, and it's a production-based class. We generally have three classes in Rally America. We have Open Class, which is the full bore, the factory guys, what I used to drive, top of the line. And then we have SP class, and then we have two-wheel drivers. And so the SP class, Super Production, is derived from a class that we had a couple of years ago, and it was a production-based class. But the sad part about it was the two best rally cars that we have in the States, the Mitsubishi Evolution and the Subaru STI, could never do battle in the class because their brakes were too big, or, you know, it was just a step above what the production class was meant to be. So a couple of years ago, it changed it up. Super Production came about, and now we have the STI against the Evo doing proper battle with all the whiz-bang brakes and the nice stuff that you can have on the car. The good thing about it is that you can do some work to the engine, but not much. The internals of the engine are not free. Then what you can do is you can piggyback a tune, you can do certain things to it to up the horsepower to get generally around just above 300. So you're actually going pretty quick. And we, you know, we're fighting the open class guys for stage times here and there.
Yeah, and, you know, going back, I know, you know, I'm trying to familiarize our listeners, you know, fully with your program and your background. And, you know, I know obviously, you know, this class is, you know, highly contested, like you said. And I mean, it's not just you. I mean, obviously you're a former, you know, open class racer yourself, but I mean, there's guys like, Ramon Alagaman, who, you know, was a factory Subaru driver in the past. I mean, you know, it's definitely, you know, a heated class, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Guy that finished third over in the championship last year was in an SP class car. He won an event overall. He won the first event in snow and ice. Some people had some problems. He took advantage of that. Ramana, who's one of my best buddies, he was actually a factory driver for Subaru when I was a factory driver for Mitsubishi. So we did a lot of battles back then. And you know, we've got the best Americans driving an SP class right now, for sure. The guys that are winning our events, sadly, I mean, they're some good buddies, but, you know, they come from England and Canada, and they're kind of invading our sport right now in the States. So, you know, we're trying our best to get back to the top.
Well, and, you know, and let's talk about, obviously, you know, you mentioned you were, you know, you were a factory driver for Mitsubishi, and now, you know, in the SP class, I mean, how much more gratifying is it, you know, winning a championship? And, you know, I don't want to say, you know, well, I mean, you know, your own blood, sweat goes into this program, whereas, this is all you. It's not a manufacturer representing you. And, I mean, how much more gratifying is it winning a championship the way you did this year?
Shoot, I mean, you know, it's tough. I mean, you as a racer know that, you know, you're sitting down working hours and hours. It's not just to fly in and drive. It's a whole different deal. Scott may be able to even talk more about that. He's been putting in hours and hours of his time, and, you know, he has a regular job to battle with. But also, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically something where, you know, when you're with a factory team, you have a whole bunch of other people that are taking care of different tasks for you. But when you're a privateer team like we are, basically you've got to do it all yourself, from the marketing to, you know, figuring out what's going on with the car, getting it from point A to point B, flying people in, all the logistics and all that type of stuff you have to do yourself.
Well, and you know, speaking of marketing and stuff like that, I mean, it seems like, you know, in the past 10 years here in the States, seems like rally is really, you know, from where it used to be, I mean, it really is starting to grow and catch on a little bit. I mean, it's definitely, you know, in the upswing. Don't you guys? I mean, do you guys see that, or is it, you know, how do you feel on, you know, on the state of rally now, whereas it was 10, 15 years ago here in the States?
I would say ever be.
Go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead. I would just say once it became part of X Games, it's grown exponentially every year. And as a worldwide phenomenon, I mean, it's right up there with F1 as far as the popularity. But in the United States here, it's kind of like soccer. And, it, you know, every time we go out every year, you see the crowds grow and grow and grow.
Well, and, you know, and I think the thing that amazes me that a lot of people don't know, I mean, obviously you just won your championship at the Olympus Rally, but the cool thing about that to me was those same roads that you guys were racing on at one point in time were a World Rally Championship event.
Yeah, I remember working that event and spectating, of course, and it was funny because we were going and checking out the roads. We get one pass through them, and I remember going past this corner, and I remember standing right there watching all the – you know, my heroes, the WRC guys going by there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of surreal. You know, speaking of that, let's skip over to Scott. I mean, you know, obviously you raced the entire year. How long have you and Lachlan been together? And, you know, what is your background in rally? I mean, were you ever a driver? Has it always been, you know, the other side of the car?
Primarily, it's always been on the right seat. I think I've driven one little rally sprint and at that point recognized my limitations, so I went over to the other side of the car in that department. But Lachlan and I first got together back in 2005, and we've been pretty much together off and on ever since in that respect. First race was the Ojibwe Forest Rally, and we managed to win that. As far as the relationship over the years, getting very close, and we both know each other's tendencies in that respect.
Well, and you know, and it's funny you mentioned that because we had back, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, Alex, Ken Block's co-writer, he's a good friend of mine, and he was on air and talking about it, and he said the same thing. He's like, you know, I went and I tried one rally. He's like, it just wasn't my thing. I wanted to concentrate on, you know, on being in the, you know, the passenger seat. And, you know, and it's just, you know, obviously, like you had said, I mean, you guys get a relationship and, you know, you learn your tendencies and, you know, and it just gets better rally after rally.
Well, and you get so close that even in the car, I mean, Lachlan can tell how I'm doing just from the inflection in my voice and vice versa. You really do have to truly work together to accomplish your goal. And I can help facilitate him as far as the driving portion of it. I mean, I can sure lose a race if I can screw, you know, if I screw up. But it really requires both people to accomplish the goal.
Well, I mean, you know, what kind of, you know, obviously, you know, I've been in a car with, you know, with a true rally, you know, somebody that really knows how to, you know, call out corners and things, but I mean, you know, where do you learn, you know, your trade, so to speak? I mean, you know, it's not something you can, you know, I guess obviously, you know, there's rally schools and you could go and take a class, but it's, you know, it's a whole lot more than that. You know, how have you developed your skills over time? I mean, is it just seat time?
Yeah, basic training over here in the United States. I mean, Tim O'Neill's rally school would be a good example of that. But for advanced training, I had to go to Finland back in 2002. And this gentleman by the name of Jukka Honkanen, who was a co-driver for Tony Gardemeister and the WRC that runs a school over there. And I guess the art of what I do is just basically the timing as you're, you know, feeding information to Lachlan as we go down the stage. If I do my job properly, he doesn't have to think about the road. He just basically knows and can drive and can focus on driving. You know, if I get too far ahead, obviously he starts having to go through these mental gyrations as far as what corner is he referring to, or obviously if I'm too late, that's a bad thing as well. You don't want to come screaming into a right-hand corner at 60 miles an hour because that would be very bad. But it's just the timing of the delivery of the information.
Awesome. Well, Lachlan, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you won the SP championship this year. I mean, you know, what do we see next year, you know, a year or two down the line? I mean, you can continue in the SP class? Are you looking at possibly contesting the open class?
The SP class is about 20% of what the open class costs. So, yeah, right now we're definitely focused on SP. And Scott has invested in a car, and we're looking to build that car up and do it right. We have been using other people's cars for the last event. For instance, we used Romano's car. He was nice enough to let us rent his car from him. And so it'll be nice to have our own car and kind of pick and choose what we wanted on the car and so on. We're very much looking forward to the next season or two in this vehicle. That seems to be the immediate future for us. And interesting tidbit from what Scott was saying is he actually lost his voice on the last event, first time ever. So when you don't have a navigator, it really slows you down. It was quite interesting. He had about 4 miles of him doing okay, and then for some reason his voice would just go away. And it happened the first 4 stages of the event, and it got us off on kind of an interesting foot. But yeah, if you don't have a navigator, you cannot go fast. It's night and day.
I think we've run roads up in northern Minnesota where we've done both with notes and as a blind rally where you're just running tulips. And speed-wise, it allows you to go about 10% faster there. Just running the roads blind, we would be on these, you know, these are up in northern Minnesota, about 92, 95 miles an hour. And with the notes, basically, we'd be up between 150 and 120. And I think from a time standpoint, it allows you to go about 2 or 3% faster there.
That is good information. And gosh, I guess it could be a somewhat common occurrence, but it's just kind of wild to think in the middle of a stage, you know, to lose, you know, basically what is, I don't want to say your lifeline, but I mean, you know, really, what is your lifeline?
Yeah, it's a bit different. I mean, I started out rallying where they were blind events. You got a book, and your navigator would read to you. Or at the time, I was a navigator for my father at 14 years old. That's when I started rallying, and I would, you know, it'd be like 2 miles, 3 miles of no instruction at all. And then I remember counting them down from like 30 to 20, and then I'd count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to like a left-hand corner. Now, looking back on it, it's pretty funny, but. So I kind of have that history of driving blind up until when we started to get notes in the States, where every undulation, every little tidbit, cut, don't cut in the road. If anybody's seen any of the WRC footage, they know exactly what I'm talking about. But yeah, I mean, you're driving blind now is a scary thing, and it's much, much safer, of course, if you have a navigator, and so much quicker. And we Scott actually told me to slow down for the first time this last event, which was quite interesting. he decided he was going to let go of the notes and not give me any instructions and tell me to slow down instead. It was pretty funny.
Well, you know, and it's funny because, you know, obviously, you know, with my off-road background, I mean, you know, there's things that you guys share in the car that nobody else gets to see. And I mean, you know, there's stories and, You know, and it really is just truly, you know, some of the stories that you guys can tell after rally and stuff like that that nobody else can experience. Even if there's a car, you know, a camera in the car, you still don't get the feeling of being in the car and what you two guys share together.
It is so true, Jim. It's maybe, you know, off-road and rallying is special that way, and that you have someone sitting there right beside you and experiencing every little thing. They may not see everything on the course looking down at their notes or whatever, but that's the special thing about these sports for sure. Because, you know, someone road racing and, wow, that corner was perfect or whatever, and, yeah, a camera's just not going to tell you.
Yeah, well, let's change it up a little bit. And I, you know, obviously, you know, the past couple of years, you guys mentioned the X Games, and you know, and I guess the takeaway from it, I mean, the format of the X Games is changed tremendously the past couple of years. And you know, what are you guys' thoughts on Rallycross? I mean, it's kind of obviously, you know, you've got GRC. I know Rally America puts on some Rallycross events. I mean, you know, it's been huge in Europe. I mean, you know, what are your guys' thoughts on Rallycross?
Scott and I have
I'm not
very different views. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, I'm not in the car, so I'm really not going to have an opinion on that. I'll defer to Lachlan there, so go ahead, bud.
All right. Let's see. Rally America. I mean, everybody can check us out on rallyamerica.com, the whole rally community. And, yeah, they're trying to bring up their Rallycross. It's more production-based vehicles than what GRC is doing, and Global Rallycross is. And, yeah, last year we won a mini championship with my guys. They put me out in the car, and we were in a two-wheel drive championship, so we did some of the GRCs last year, and we won our championship there. But, I mean, I'd love to get in those cars. I actually drove Reese Millen's car last year at Pikes Peak, and we were about to set a record in the open class there, but the car gave out about 2 miles from the end. But, the car was brilliant, the best car I ever drove, and super exciting. I think once they get the courses down properly, it's already exciting. So that's something I definitely want to do in the future. I want to get back to the X Games. Scott and I had a great time in the X Games. Just missed the bronze medal by a second. Ken Block beat us, and at that time, Colin Gray, sadly, who has since passed away, of course, Colin McRae rolled right back on his wheels, and Scott and I were jumping up thinking we got a bronze, and because he was the last car to go, and he landed back on his wheels and took silver to Travis Pastrana, and we were the first car to not get a medal, which is quite sad. But moving on, I'd love to do GRC in the future, and talking to a bunch of people and teams and trying to make something happen there. But, those cars are incredible, fantastic, and it's going to be even more exciting with more events and kind of become worldwide.
Well, and, you know, I'm just totally shooting from the hip here and changing things up. A few months ago, I had Lindsay Orridge from the UK, you know, on the show. And, you know, obviously she's worked with the Ford team, you know, over in Europe and whatnot. And we were talking about actually, you know, WRC events and how they put the one on in Mexico here. And, you know, and I realize, you know, talking with her, you know, a United States event really is on the radar for the WRC. I mean, it, you know, I think it's just finding the proper event. And you guys, honestly, you know, you think we're ever going to see a WRC event here, you know, in the United States again?
I think it's such a big market. It's been off and on, of course, for many years, and a couple of years it happened. They've been trying to do it for, you know, now Red Bull's in charge, and the United States, of course, for them is a huge market. Mexico is, I mean, my wife and I go down there. We met at a rally. We spectated Mexico quite a few times, and Scott and I have even talked about doing it. The fund hasn't been there, but we've wanted to do a WRC for quite a few years. And, you know, bring a WRC event here will only exponentially, you know, light the fire of rallying, hopefully, here in the States. We definitely, WRC has been interested, and hopefully something happens. We've got some great roads here with, you know, a lot of fans. I mean, I remember when, you know, when I was a teenager and people had no clue what rallying was. We had to go to Europe. My father and I had to go to Europe and spectate events and really seem like there was a family of you know, a good kinship of rallying fans. And now here in the States, you talk about rallying, especially because of the video games. Everybody kind of knows what it is now. It's changed a lot, and yeah, it'd be incredible to have a WRC event here. I don't know if Scott has another take on it, though.
I think eventually we'll, I mean, it's just the last great untapped market, and I'll just leave it at that. I mean, eventually it's got to come over here.
Yeah, it's, well, and like you had mentioned with Red Bull taking over, you know, the WRC now, I think, you know, obviously they've got a huge interest here in the States. So I think, you know, it only is a matter of time with the market here that we do have.
Most definitely.
And it primarily is oriented towards a much, you know, it's a much younger demographic. It's classified as an extreme sport, and it just fits in with the whole X Games thing as well.
All right. Well, we're kind of closing things down, but we'll kind of do a couple of quick, just shoot from the hip questions. But this one's to both of you. We'll go Scott first, and then Lachlan. But what's your favorite race that you guys do every year?
I would say 100 Acre Wood, just for the simple reason that the roads are a little bit wider. You can get away with some things. The speeds are high. There's the surface, it's not a car breaker, and there's certain series of turns in there that I'll just remember for the rest of my life just because they were simply so fun. And I'll let you go, Lachlan. Go ahead.
100 Acres is a great event. You know, I love it all. I love being in the car. I love going down the road as quick as I can. I mean, every event to me has its own special great thing about it. And love all the roads out there. The Washington roads we just did were a little rough, and Oregon roads were really nice and a little bit tamer. And then you go to the snow and the ice in Michigan, and to me it's all just bring it on. Let's go out there and have a great time. But yeah, if I had to pick one, that's a great event. Scott picked for sure.
Well, each event has got some unique attributes to it. I mean, there's certain stages from every event that you're going to remember. For example, the event Snowdrift. It's like the last stage of the event is one that's relatively short, and the locals will sit there and have bonfires that they start early in the morning. And as the cars are going by, they'll throw gasoline on the fires, and it's like, you know, going through a Rambo movie. And it just, you know, first time I went through there, you know, kind of was going, what's going on? But, you know, last year when we did it, it just, you know, you start giggling and you remember it, and it's a lot of fun. But each event's going to have unique stages.
All right, last question here, and this was kind of generated through online and stuff like that, but biggest pucker moment or oh wow moment in the car?
It was probably in Maine. We found a rock on the side of the road at about 60 miles an hour and did a 360 degree turn on all four corners and kept going. Lachlan, you want to add to that a little bit, or?
That's probably the top. Let's see. So in rallying, I mean, it's like off-roading. There's so many things going on. Let's see. We got stuck behind a slower car for about 4 miles in the dust Oregon. And the guy just couldn't see us. And so, like off-roading, you would bump the guy, let him know you're there. But we don't have the big bumpers on our car, the roof bars, whatever you call them. But, yeah, it took a little time to get around him because the road was so narrow, which was pretty cool and fun. But, yeah, I mean, this last event that we just had where Scott told me to slow down, it was just really, really bad dust during the night. And I was just trying to get some decent times, you know, on the timesheet. And Scott felt we were just going too fast in Ramona's car and didn't want to damage it. It was probably a smart call, but I felt that we were on it. So for him, that may have been a pucker moment.
Oh,
I just remembered that rock, and man, that's all. But I mean, every race has got little moments like that. Snowdrift, you know, this is a wintertime event. and it rained 3 days prior to the actual race. So the first day, it was just a sheet of ice. You're not driving on studs. I mean, you're just – and we spun out three times on the first stage alone. And at that point, there are a few times that, you know, everybody wants to drive, but there are a few times that I'm glad I'm not sitting in the left seat, and that was one of them.
I was going to say, were you driving that time? We spun out three times. That doesn't sound like I was driving.
Wow, it was glare ice. It was worse than a skating rink, you know.
Oh, heck. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time on air. You got any got anybody you want to thank or any place that some of our listeners can get more information on you guys?
Yeah, thanks. We have a great team backing us up. I mean, it takes a lot of people, but I really just want to give a shout out to three guys. There's Doug Nagy at Streetwise Motorsports that's taking care of us, along with Ryan Young and Scott Erlinger. Great team we've got behind us. And then want to definitely mention our sponsors. Great stuff from Lucas Oil, who's been sponsoring us for 2 years now. Have a really good relationship with them, along with where Scott works, Maury Subaru. And we have a new sponsor that just has come aboard now, Wolf LED Systems, known in the off-road world. We're going to try and bring them into rallying. And with our lighting systems, and that's we're very interested in seeing how that's going to work out next year.
Awesome. And where can we get a little more info on you guys? Obviously, websites, Facebook. You got any place our listeners can track you down and go and like you?
Got it. Rally-America.com. That's the website that you can bring up stage times, live interviews. They've got a whole video web going on at each race. Scott has his website, Subinet, and Scott, take it from there.
You can see as far as Subaru.net, there is links to basically our like YouTube channels and all that type of thing. Lachlan has a website, LachlanO'Sullivan.com as well, but I guess the primary source of information would be Subaru.net, and there's all sorts of stuff on that website.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to come on air, and obviously congratulations on your 2012 championship. Hats off to you guys. That's awesome.
Jim, thank you very
appreciate
much.
The time.
It's really an honor to be on with you, and good luck in your race.
All right. Well, thank you guys, and we'll definitely we'll have you back on maybe the start of next year or something right before the series starts.
Just let us know.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
All right, that was Lachlan O'Sullivan and Scott Putnam, your 2012 Rally America SP National Champs. We're going to be doing a lot more rally coverage here on the Down and Dirty Show, both, you know, Rallycross and Rally America, and obviously we do the WRC thing. Rally really is, between Rallycross and Rally, the sister sport to off-road racing. I mean, obviously you've got desert racing, and you've got your traditional rally, and then you've got short course racing, and you've got rally cross. I mean, they really do go hand in hand together, and so obviously we're gonna cover them both on air. I'm a big fan of rally, have been for a long, long time, and just excited to be able to cover another sport that's a lot like the one I compete in. So. That's what we're going to do going forward. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we've got, lots of info. We had more Powder Puff over the weekend, WRC France. We've got our Speed Energy Report, Off-Road Expo, Baja 1000 news, a Parker preview, and lots of motocross and motorcycle news. So stay tuned, and we'll be back after these messages.
Like the buffets at Blue Water Resort and Casino? Not anymore. You'll love them. For a limited time, get two buffets for the price of one. Any buffet, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Feast on the buffet of your choice on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Two buffets for the price of one. So bring a friend. Just think how much money they'll save. Two-for-one buffets for a limited time, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Offer cannot be applied to any other discounts. Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona. The party's at the edge.
The River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino. With happy hour weekdays 4 till 7 with 2 1/4 domestic beer and $2 well drinks. Show your player's card with ID for 10% off food items. On Sausage Fest Sundays, pick Polish, Italian, brat, or dog with chips just $5. Taco Tuesdays feature dollar tacos and $2 margaritas. Thursdays, grab a beefy barbecue sandwich for $5 and any flavor of Pucker vodka for $3. And on Fridays, our tri-tip sandwich is only $8. Take the party to the edge. The River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona.
Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
All right. Thanks for staying tuned over the break. We've got our Speed Energy report up next. Obviously, Speed Energy, a big part of my racing program and in this show. The first bit of news, and it is a little bit of a rumor right now. It's not confirmed, but I believe it is in the works. I haven't talked to Robbie about this topic, but rumor is the Baja 1000, you're going to have Robbie Gordon and Juan Carlos Lopez teaming up in Trophy Truck. Obviously, Robbie has been dominant in Best in the Desert this year, but had a little bit of a rough time in score, and Juan Carlos is fighting for a championship. So rumor has it those two are going to team up for what is almost a 1,200-mile race this year. So that should be interesting. Other quick note is Justin Davis, it looks like, if that goes through, will be teaming up to run the Speed Energy RPM Truggy. Obviously, Robbie won't be running the Truggy, and he'll be stepping into the Trophy Truck. So I don't know. We'll see how this all plays out in the next month or so. But that is the rumor mill coming out of the Speed Energy camp. Also, Speed Energy got a huge promotion going on for the month of October to benefit Pink October, or National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. This month, every single case of Speed Energy Unleaded that is sold, and now we're talking the Unleaded, which is the pink Speed, the one with the pink S on it and the pink label. Every single case of Speed Energy Pink Unleaded sold this month, Speed Energy is donating 5 cents to the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation. You know, 5 cents may not sound like a lot right now, but when we're talking, hundreds of thousands of cases of Speed, 5 cents, that is definitely a lot of money. And tying in, because Speed Energy is a great supporter of ours, we're going to support this promotion. And the Down and Dirty Show is offering up 25 cents for every picture posted on my Facebook page. If you post up a picture on my Facebook page of you drinking Speed Energy Unleaded, that's the pink can, anytime you post up a picture this month on my Facebook page, I'm donating 25 cents a picture to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So post up those pics. It's going to cost me a lot of money if you guys keep them coming. That's going to end out our Speed Energy report this week. We're going to have lots of news next week, because we've got obviously a big Speed Energy event coming up in the Blue Water Desert Challenge this weekend, where the entire Speed Energy team will be in action. So that is coming up. And, other than that, I know Speed Energy was involved in the Off-Road Expo, had a great showing there, and giving out tons of Speed Energy. So hopefully those of you that made it out to the Off-Road Expo got your free cans of Speed Energy. We're going to skip right in this time to our RaceDesert.com Hot Topic of the Week. Race Desert, obviously a great content provider of ours. Every week we do a hot topic, which is their hot topic from their forums and their, and their chat board there. And this week it's 42-inch tires. So you guys want my opinion on 42-inch tires. You want my opinion? I'm going to give it to you. 42-inch tires. My feelings on these are it's too big. They have no place in off-road. I think it's overkill. But I'm more than willing to allow these guys to run them. I think it's going to do more harm than good. Obviously, you go to 42-inch tires. You're steering. You can't steer sharp. One, the tires are huge and heavy. I mean, I've heard anywhere from 175 pounds wheel and tire combo. That's a lot of weight, especially for a co-driver to be slinging. Pulling out and changing a tire fast. Obviously your tire changes are going to slow down. Your turning diameter or turning radius goes away. The benefit is obviously, they're bigger tires. They skip over the bumps and the whoops a little better. The disadvantage is, you start running a tire that big. I mean, you've got to change your gearing in your rear end. You've got to run a bigger rear end so you don't spit up ring and pinions and axles. Your transmission has to be beefed up. All your ratios have to be changed. A lot of guys are going to an underdrive to run these 42-inch tires. Honestly, I just think it's too big. I mean, we're getting on the verge of monster truck tires here. You've got to go and run specialized rims that are 20-inch now. I just don't see the benefit. Some of these guys are saying, it's the wave of the future. I'm saying 39-inch tires are great. 42 is too big. I don't know. That's my thoughts. I'd love to hear from the chat board on what you guys think on 42-inch tires. But in my opinion, it's just too big for what we do. And not only that, the only class that can run these things is trophy truck. Class ones can't run them. Heck, it's just been the past couple of years where they were able to run 37s. They're not even running 39s yet, more or less 42s. That's not going to happen anytime soon. So class ones can't run them. No other class in off-road other than trophy truck can run them. And all you're doing is creating bigger ruts. We've got to think about the 1600 cars, the class 11 Volkswagens, the 12 cars, the 10 cars, the classes that aren't as fast but do make up a huge part of off-road. I mean, trophy truck is it gets 90% of the publicity and is only 10% of the entries. So, we do have a huge portion of off-road racing that doesn't get a lot of PR, and these are definitely detrimental to what those guys are trying to do. So, my thoughts is 42-inch tires, no bueno. Let me know your thoughts, but that is my opinion, and I'm going to stick to it. And that was our RaceDesert.com Hot Topic. Feel free to join in on RaceDesert.com and check out the chat they've got going there on 42-inch tires. Other news, we had WRC France. That's right, World Rally Championship France. We're talking a lot of rally today. Obviously, with Lachlan O'Sullivan and Scott Putnam earlier, for those of you that are just tuning in. But WRC France, we're winding down the World Rally Championship calendar. After France, there's only two more events. We've got Italy and Spain left on the calendar, so definitely winding down. But the big news is the championship is winding down, but it's pretty much it has been decided. I mean, there's obviously some battle going on for some positions farther down the road, but Sebastian Loeb wrapped up his 2012 World Rally Championship this past weekend in dominating fashion. Actually, I can't say dominating. He barely won by a. It was dominating fashion. But anytime Sebastian's in the car, he dominates. Nine-time world champion. He got his ninth world championship. He's dominated this year. He just wins championship after championship. The guy's like a machine. Let's put this into perspective. Michael Schumacher's only got 7 world championships. There's nobody in NASCAR history that's won 9 championships. I mean, it should put it into perspective how good Sebastian Loeb is. Anyways, Sebastian winning World Rally Championship France, Lavalle in second, Herbin in third, Neuville fourth, and Osberg fifth rounds out your top 5 for the World Rally Championship of France. I'm just looking down, skipping through here, looking at how many stage wins Sebastian Loeb had. He had 8 out of 22 stage wins. The interesting thing is Neuville had a great race. He had 6 stage wins in his Citroen, and that's a junior team car. So You know, it was a great showing by Citroën. We had Ford with about seven stage wins, it looks like. But Sebastian Loeb just dominating the rally as always and winning his wrapping up his ninth world championship. So congratulations goes out to Sebastian Loeb on his ninth world championship. My hope is that we see him full time again next year. I think he raises the bar for everybody else in the championship, and I hope that he continues you know, racing in the World Rally Championship, not just events here and there. You know, obviously he wants to go and do Le Mans and do some road racing and some other things that he has working. But I hope that he can continue to stay in the World Rally Championship full time. I think he is absolutely a great part of the series, and it will definitely be sad to see him go if he decides to go and do something else. Another big event over the weekend, we had the Moor Powder Puff Race. You know, this event is such a unique event. You know, I guess my only hope is that someday that the Moor Powder Puff Race and the Off-Road Expo could be held on separate weekends, only because they're both great events and they do hurt each other attendance wise. But the Moor Powder Puff Race, for those of you that don't know about it, it's a race every October in Barstow, California, put on by Moor. It's a ladies-only female race, and all the proceeds go to benefit breast cancer. Just a great event. It grows and grows every year. You know, just an amazing event. It raises tons of money. It's got some great corporate sponsors that have started to get involved, and the women come out in force to run this event. Just an absolute great event. I don't have full results yet, so we're going to get those next week when Moor announces them. But right now I do have – I know the overall winner of the event was Kelly Mather. She won the overall and also the Class 1 win. I know Nicole Patelli was a winner. She's a three-time winner. That was her third win in a row. And our good friend Emmy Hall took home a win in the event. So we will definitely have full coverage of this event next week when I get the full results, because these ladies and what they do, they deserve every bit of publicity that we can give them. Obviously, all the proceeds go to a great thing, and just an amazing, amazing you know, event that they put on there. So, you know, we'll have full coverage next week, and definitely there's all kinds of pictures, and, you know, drop an email, you know, post online, you know, tell these ladies that that you support what they do, because it honestly is a great event, and, you know, I love to see it every year, and I would love to see it grow even more. We're going to cut to a short break, and we're going to come back. We're going to have a Parker Best in the Desert Blue Water Desert Challenge preview, news from the Off-Road Expo, lots of Baja 1000 news, and a lot of motocross news as well. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
Are you going racing or doing a weekend project and don't have the equipment you need? Ahern Rentals has you covered. Everything from generators, lighting towers, and scissor lifts to forklifts and dump trucks are at your disposal. They deliver nationwide with fast service and competitive pricing. Check out their full line at www.ahern.com and give them a call at 909-289-8077. KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the full carbon fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter,
and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com.
And speaking of KC Highlights, one of our great partners on both my trophy truck and this radio show, speaking of KC Highlights, they had a huge announcement at the Off-Road Expo. The Off-Road Expo, obviously all of you that are tuning in know that went off this past weekend, one of the biggest and best trade shows of the year. I'm not just talking about in the off-road industry, I'm talking nationwide. I mean, this is ranking up there with you know, SEMA, the PRI show. I mean, it really is become a huge show. But KC Highlights announcing a new line of light bars. Most of you, you know, that have been around the rally and off-road industry for a while now know that these LED light bars are kind of the new rage. You know, HIDs came in and they still dominate the marketplace, and really these light bars can't touch them. But they have become the trendy thing, and KC obviously is now coming to market with one. And like I can tell you, KC Highlights, they don't jump in. They don't jump in until they know their product is right. They might not be the first one to market, but when they do come to market, they've got the best product available. They've just launched a brand new line of light bars, so definitely check them out. They're going to have all the info at kchighlights.com. Check them out if you're looking for a light bar, because they are going to be phenomenal. A couple different sizes available. Other big news coming out of the Off-Road Expo, Jimco just finished up its very first high-end luxury trophy truck pre-runner for our friends at Mastercraft and Impact. Finished it up. They're going to use it to pre-run the Baja 1000 here in the next couple of weeks. Just a phenomenal build. I don't want to even tell you the price tag, but you've got to see the pictures of this thing. It's on Mastercraft's Facebook page. And I'm sure Jimco's going to have all kinds of stuff released on it. You're going to see all kinds of builds. You're going to see all kinds of, I don't even know. I mean, it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's the first luxury pre-runner that Jimco has ever built. Obviously, they make some of the best race cars in the world, but this is their first forte into luxury pre-runners. You need to check this thing out. It's absolutely a work of art and beautiful. And, you know, and tying in with the Off-Road Expo, I mean, it's become such a huge event. Obviously, you had the Miss Off-Road Expo contest. It was huge, more entries than ever. SCORE coming back and getting involved in the Off-Road Expo. We have the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame where Casey Folks got inducted. But speaking of SCORE, they had their Baja 1000 draw live from the Off-Road Expo. So the SCORE Baja 1000 drawing went off. And they also had the launch of the Baja 1000 map. Before we get into the map, let's go straight to the starting positions for the 2012 SCORE Baja 1000, the 45th annual. This is the full peninsula run this year. Trophy truck, first off the line, Pete Sorin. And I'm just looking down the list here. It looks like we've got a total of... I'm looking at this list going, we've got 30 to 40 trophy truck entries. Just a phenomenal field. I mean, the who's who. I mean, we've got Rob McCachran, McMillan's, BJ Baldwin, Menzies, Jesse Jones, the Herps, Cameron Steele. You know, we've got Vidosla. We've got Ryan Arciero, Mark Postback in the number three, Robbie Gordon, you know, Rick Johnson, the list goes on. Just a phenomenal field there. And, you know, it should be just a great, great event. Class one, we've got a full field of class ones. First off the line, Monica Greenhill, a lady getting first off the line in class one. I think that's awesome. Class 1600 field, George Peters first off the line. You know, I'm just skipping down here to the major classes. Class 10, Cam Theroux, first off the line. SCORE Lights, Pedro Vasquez. Baja Challenge, which is always a huge class, especially for the Peninsula runs. We've only got two entries so far, but as that's an arrive-and-drive deal, I think as we get closer, we're going to have a full field there. The other big news, Class 22, obviously there's a heated battle in Class 22 Open Pro Motorcycle right now. Chris Ridgway, first off the line, Mark Samuels, second, Radek Burkett, third, and Kurt Caselli, fourth. Robbie Bell down in there in, I believe it's seventh position, and towards the back we've got Colton Udall in the 1X bike. So just a great field of Class 22 motorcycles. And they've got a heated battle between Kawasaki, KTM, and Honda going on for the championship right now. So should be great to see how that shapes up. And I'm sure that this entry list is just preliminary. My guess is 50 to 100 more entries by race time. And I'm not exaggerating. There will be that many more. Let's talk about the Baja 1000 map that SCORE announced. This is the point-to-point. We're starting in Ensenada this year, as always, and it's finishing in La Paz, not Cabo this year. We're finishing in La Paz. Starts in Ensenada, runs across the peninsula to San Felipe, which is about 200 miles in. From San Felipe, you go, which is on the inland side, you go direct south down through Puerto Citas and down to Coco's Corner, which has become one of the most infamous spots in the Baja 1000. And Coco, just an awesome, awesome individual. From Coco's Corner, you continue south to Bay of LA on the inland side, down to Vizcaino, and then, you know, from there you start crossing back across the peninsula, San Ignacio down to San Juancito. From there you continue farther south to San Javier, Puerto Cancun, Punta Conejo, all the way down. You cross back across the peninsula in the one of the thinnest parts of the peninsula to the finish line in La Paz. We're looking at 1,117 miles total. That's a great, huge event. You know, obviously the loop Baja 1000 is usually 600 to 700 miles, which puts it at around 1,000 K. This is a legitimate 1,100 miles. So not a slouch by any means, and should be a phenomenal race. You're going to see most of the drivers tag team at 1,100 miles in a trophy truck or a one car. It is totally, you know, it is absolutely totally, you know, I don't want to say impossible for somebody to do, you know, by themselves, but it really is a tough go. And I love our chat board. Monica Greenhill, at TX Greenhill on Twitter. So give her a follow if you want to find more on your class one pole sitter for the SCORE Baja 1000 at TX Greenhill. That's Monica Greenhill. Thanks a lot to our chat board for giving us the info. So the Baja 1000, obviously we're going to see more and more entries as time gets closer. That was the map. That was your draw order. And all in all, the Off-Road Expo, everything I've heard sounds like it was one of the biggest and best off-road expos in history. Dirt Theater there in Force, and they debuted the Mint 400. So I believe that's going to be available real soon on Apple iTunes. So check it out, download it, and I'm sure it's going to be out on DVD as well. And RaceDesert.com also debuted their new video, Money Shots, which is a highlight of all the previous Desert People videos. That's definitely a must-have DVD. And get a copy of it and check it out. You can order it from RaceDesert.com in the store. Going along with all the SCORE Baja 1000 news, SCORE this past week launched a social media onslaught, which is a long time coming. Hats off to SCORE. You know, they were really one of the only organizations that not involved in social media heavily. Launched a brand new Facebook page. You need to go and like that. They've got a Twitter account up and running, and they've also got a YouTube channel, you know, that shows all the SCORE racing action from Baja. So you definitely need to check out all the SCORE social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. They're doing it all. We just need to get them on Instagram now. We get SCORE on Instagram, we'll have it all covered. So hats off to SCORE for getting involved in social media. It is the wave of the future. I wouldn't even say the wave of the future. It's the wave of it now. Anybody not participating in social media is definitely losing ground to competitors. Motocross of Nations happened. It was finishing up when we went to air last week, and I didn't get a chance to get the results on air. We've talked about it the past month. Motocross of Nations, Team Germany coming across with a win. Max Nagel, Kenny Roczen, and Marcus Schipper, Team Germany getting the win. Your overall winner of the Motocross of Nations in the individual category, Tony Caroli. Team USA, their winning streak is now over, finishing in third place, still taking a podium. That's your USA team of Dungey, Baggett, and Barsha. So, you know, it's still great result for Team USA. You know, Team USA has been so dominant the past couple of years. But it's really, you know, I hate to say it's great to see Team USA lose because I'm never going to say that. But it's great to see these other companies or countries. It's great to see these other countries put on such a great show and be so competitive. I mean, it really shows you how Action Motorsports and Motocross and Supercross, how the talent level has grown overseas. You know, I know in France in particular, it's become huge there. So, you know, I think it's just a great thing. And, you know, and all in all, it's going to benefit the competition of the AMA Motocross and Supercross series in the next couple of years with the growth overseas of Motocross and Supercross racing. The other big news, Monster Energy Cup, we've been talking about this. It's absolutely the biggest and baddest Supercross race of the year. It's basically three events rolled into one night. And if you can win all three events, you're going to take home $1 million in cold hard cash. This is the second year of the event. Last year, Ryan Villopoto took it all. I don't see that happening again this year. I don't see anybody collecting in on the million, but you're going to have a full field. We've got Chad Reed back, Ryan Dungey, Ryan Villopoto. I mean, we've got a full field of the top riders in the world going for that $1 million. You know, other news, I know Ken Block's going to be in attendance. He's going to be doing a rally car demonstration. This is going to be live on Speed TV, so you definitely need to tune in. It's later this month. And the track has been finalized, and if you haven't seen it, go to MonsterEnergyCup.com. They've got a phenomenal thing that they put together. I will post it up on my Facebook page as soon as we're done going off the air today. What it is, it's a 3D track, but they put you on a virtual dirt bike and take you around the track. It's so lifelike. It's amazing. And this track is not like a normal Supercross track. It is definitely different. It's not tight. I mean, it's tight, but it's got some open high-speed areas, almost like a motocross track. You need to do it, and definitely check out this virtual ride-along on the track. I've never seen something done like this before. It's absolutely amazing, very, very cool, and I'm telling you, you need to check it out. I wish more people would invest in doing this, you know, some of these motorsports, because I think it's very, very cool. And really, our last topic of the day that we're going to touch base on is Honda recently announced a brand new Dakar bike. This bike was, you've got to see the pictures. I posted it up this past week with a link to the news article. It's all over. You know, everybody's seen these Dakar bikes before and, oh, they're cool, whatever. You know, it's not something you could ever relate to. Honda's putting this bad boy into production based off the 450 series engine, but Honda's putting this thing into production, a full-blown Dakar bike in production. You ought to see the lighting, the GPS. Well, I wouldn't say GPS, but it's just an amazing bike. Words can't put it into perspective. You need to check this out, and they announced that Johnny Campbell is going to be leading the team in Dakar this year on this brand-new bike. So you can, you know, everybody knows Johnny Campbell, probably one of the greatest endurance motorcycle racers in history. He's going to be leading the team of, you know, the Honda Dakar team with three other individuals. But in addition, Honda's launching a brand new bike that you can buy. So probably the first time in history you're going to be able to say you can own the same bike that Johnny Campbell races. It should be very, very cool. Check it out. I don't know the price tag on this bike. When we get more specs, I'll have a full I'll have a full product spotlight on it and the price, but until then, just check out the pictures and drool. I haven't owned a bike in a while, only because I tend to get off the bike as much as I get on it, if you know what I'm saying. You know, it really, I can't risk a broken leg with my racing career, but you need to check out this bike. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal bike. And, you know, first time in years that I've actually been thinking about buying another bike. Shh, don't tell my wife that, though. Other motocross, supercross news, supercross.com, just a great website if you haven't found it. It is the home for two-wheeled motorsports in the dirt. They've got a new series of, they call it the Originals, but it's kind of a makings of supercross.com and how the sport has evolved. Their very first episode is online now, and it features Ricky Johnson and Supercross.com founder Lex. And it talks about Ricky's past on Supercross bikes, off-road, NASCAR. Very, very cool piece. It's an ongoing format. You need to check it out. It's a front page of Supercross.com as soon as you go there. Check it out. Just a cool, cool piece. And I'm really anxious to see where they go with this whole originals topic. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to evolve it into covering more than just what they are. But it's a cool piece and definitely worth checking out. Other than that, we've got some upcoming events. Obviously, the Best in the Desert Parker Bluewater Desert Challenge this weekend. Big news coming out of there is racedesert.com. We'll have a live stream of the race. I've been working with them. We're going to have some cool stuff going for the race. There's going to be a live stream. You know, I don't know quite what it's going to involve. I don't know if, because it's a day-long event, it's just a unique type of event. I don't know what it is, but check out Race Desert. There will be a live stream. Thursday night, a general tire party, appreciation, off-road appreciation party. Everybody's invited. 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. Thursday night at the Bluewater Desert Bluewater Resort and Casino at the Cantina down on the river. So check that out. And if you're in town, definitely go to the General Tire Party. The who's who of off-road will be there. And other news, the Tuba Water Desert Challenge. Those of you who don't know, it's kind of an underground event. There's a Facebook kind of event page talking about it. Just a cool event. There's news about it on Race Desert. What it is, it's an underground remote control car race that's sprung up, but it's become kind of a major part of the Parker events. You've got trophy truck and class one racers showing up and racing remote control cars. You know, and on top of that, you've got all the media personalities from off-road there, and it's an underground event that's become more than an underground event now, and it's become widely popular. So that's going off on Thursday night, and everybody is welcome to attend and check it out. You can find out all the info on Facebook, so check that out. And in addition to the Parker race, we've also got Formula Drift, the finale from Irwindale this weekend. So that should be awesome. And then on top of that, we're going to have Levi Lavalle on air. You know, Mr. Red Bull, New Year's No Limits, who set the record on his snowmobile. He's going to be live on air next week. So you need to tune in for Levi. That should be one of our biggest and best interviews we've ever done. And other than that, I just want to mention my truck. I know I'm going to get emails hit up and wants to know the scoop. My truck is for sale on the internet. I am not getting out of racing. Don't worry about that. It is for sale on the internet. I've had some interest. It's the end of the year. I've looked at a couple other trucks that I'm looking at buying, possibly short course and trophy trucks. I'm not getting out of racing. My truck is for sale. If it sells, I will be buying another trophy truck or Pro 2. Don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere, but my truck is for sale. You can check it out on the racedesert.com classifieds if you want to buy it. But don't worry, I'm not getting out of racing, so you don't have to worry about me going anywhere. You're still going to have to hear me every Monday for an hour to 2 hours at 9:30 a.m. because I'm not going anywhere. And hey, Jim, when are you sending out the trivia packages from the last trivia? I know I'm bad, aren't I? Yeah, that is on my to-do list, and I apologize. I've got everybody's names, addresses written down, and what you guys won. The packages will be out. And I've got a delivery of Speed Energy coming this week as they will be in town for the race. And trust me, it'll be worth your while that you guys have hung in this long. I will be mailing it out, and I'll definitely be throwing in some Speed Energy with it. So thank you guys for your patience. Thank you for listening in. I want to thank all of our partners, Casey Highlights, Speed Energy, Bluewater Resort and Casino, UPR.com, Mastercraft, Impact, Ahern Equipment Rentals, Parker Motor Company, everybody that makes this show what it is. You know, we're still at around 160,000 unique listeners. I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate everything that you guys do listening in. All the people that come on air, Lachlan O'Sullivan, Scott Putnam. I mean, you know, I never would have thought when we got this project off the ground a year ago, you know, that I'd be interviewing the people that I'm interviewing. It really is truly amazing. And, you know, without you, the listeners, it wouldn't be where it's at. So You know, honestly, I don't know what to say other than thank you. You know, it's a great thing. We're not going anywhere, and we're going to continue to grow and continue to bring you the best interviews in Action Motorsports. So, you know, obviously we've got Levi Lavalle next week, and we're also may have another big interview on the same episode, and we're going to have Formula Drift coverage, Parker coverage. It's going to be a huge show next week, so definitely stay tuned. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. And we'll see you next week after the Blue Water Resort and Casino Blue Water Desert Challenge. So definitely check that out at racedesert.com, the live stream this weekend, and find out how I'm doing in the race. Thanks a lot, guys.